This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The Penguins find themselves in New York for the second game in a row, played Thursday, lost the game, although Tristan Jarry played better. And this is not the time of year you talk about moral wins, but that's kind of where we are here with the Penguins with regard to their goaltending. And looking ahead, this is going to be the interesting matchup moving forward for whomever the Penguins play in the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs. Right now, they are the first wild card, which puts them in line with Carolina, although that could soon be New Jersey, because the Devils are just 1 point behind Carolina. 96-95. The Rangers have put themselves out of reach, I think, from the Penguins. With 14 games left, I don't know how Pittsburgh makes up 10 points. You know, two of the games have already been played. They got one more tonight, and they got to win that game tonight, mostly because New York Islanders are playing San Jose, and they likely will get to 80 points. And the Florida Panthers are playing at home. Now, they got New Jersey, but they are 75 with the same amount of games the Penguins have played. So there's a 3-point difference from missing the playoffs completely. The Penguins have done it with inconsistent, erratic play, specifically in goal. Tristan Jarry has battled injury. He needs a contract at the end of this year. Is it worth paying him what he wants, or what you maybe you thought he was worth at the time? He's not been very good, been yanked 3 out of the last 10, although he responded, I thought, in the second period, especially against the Rangers the other night. And he kept them in the game when it was 1-1. But, you know, breakdowns are a problem. When you look at the Penguins, and let's assume they get into playoffs, it'll be as a wild card, depending on who they play. And these are the three likely teams they play. It's Boston, Carolina, or New Jersey. They will be underdogs in all three. Boston is on a record-setting pace, 51 wins already. And the difference in goal is fairly stunning. Linus Ullmark is their goaltender, and he's been outstanding this year. He'll be the Vezina winner with a 197 goals against, 933 save percentage. He has a ton of wins. So when he doesn't play, Jeremy Swayman has been just as consistent. Carolina's gone through a whole bunch of people, actually, so I feel more confident going against that team, especially since they lost Andrei Svechnikov now for injury for the rest of the season. Frederik Andersen is their main guy, but they flip Antti Raanta in there, and they have a young kid named Peter Kachetkov, who's pretty good, too, when he gets in there. New Jersey's riding with Vitek Vanacek, and he's been terrific, 28-8, sub-2.5 goals against. So the Penguins are going to have the goaltending disadvantage going into that one. And that's been the story for the last couple of years. And when you look at Ron Hextall and the body of work as a general manager, they never really addressed that. They signed the Smith back to a 2-year deal. Nothing on Jarry. He wanted to wait. Maybe that's a good move now, looking back. If he didn't believe that Jarry could be, he wanted to wait and see if he's healthy, that's fine. But he should have brought in somebody else. And I know they have Dustin Tokarski, but they should have brought in even more, I thought, given how important that position is. And he handcuffed himself with some of these signings that you've seen now go away. Kasperi Kapanen being one of them, Brock McGinn being another one. He gave Jeff Carter big money, and now Jeff Carter plays every night no matter what, and that's got to change. So, and while doing that, he let guys go like Evan Rodriguez, like Brandon Tanev, like Jarrett McCann, and those are guys who could have fit in well here. They played well here, I thought, at times during postseason activity, but now they're with different teams. And the Penguins are trying to find something from their bottom six. Can they get what they need from their bottom six? You know, I don't know. They got to come up with something better. You can't just have Crosby, who played out of his mind the other night, I thought. He was the best player on the ice, despite the fact that they lost that game. His line was territorially supreme to anybody else on that And I like Raquel moving back up to it. Ricardo Raquel has, as you can tell, he has a chemistry with him. Not that Russ didn't. I just like Raquel better on that line for now. But the third and fourth lines, they've got to come up with points. And if they don't, they're going to be in trouble. They got some injuries again at defense now with Petrie, Ruda banged up. P.O. Joseph committed a terrible giveaway the other night against Tyler Mott, and he made him pay for it. They allowed, you know, a bank pass off the boards from Artemi Panarin to Mika Zibanejad, and it's a clean breakaway 3 minutes into the game. Those same problems hurt the Penguins. They give up goals early, they give up goals late, and they give up goals when they score immediately thereafter. And you just can't keep doing it. I just don't understand why that hasn't been corrected by now. That game tonight at 8 o'clock, it's a nationally televised game. Tell me what you think about it. The other stuff going on this week, of course, was the NFL and all of this activity, and the Steelers were busy. So I'll throw out a question for you, and you can tell me what you think. Of these four players, biggest draft bust for the Steelers of recent times, and I'm going back probably to 2000 or a little bit beyond that, because I can't remember when Jermaine Stevens was here with Bill Cowher. But my list will include Jermaine Stevens, Artie Burns, Troy Edwards, number one pick, and Devin Bush. And Bush was just obviously out of their plans. He signed a one-year deal with Seattle. Of those four, who do you think has been the biggest draft bust? I'll tell you, my answer is not Devin Bush, because Devin Bush did play, and when he played before he was injured, he looked like he was going to be a difference maker out there, side to side. I remember that game against the Chargers in that small stadium before they moved into SoFi. And he was terrific. Fumble recovery. He did a lot of stuff. And he was until that injury. I don't know what happened to him at that injury, but his game changed. Everything changed. I thought his demeanor changed. It's not Devin Bush for me. My answer would be Jermaine Stevens, just because of the way it all went out. You know, he had that run test where he threw up and Bill Cowher couldn't stand it. Artie Burns played a little. Troy Edwards, that was just a terrible pick. Of those four, who would you pick? At 412-928-9370. There were a lot of signings. Of course, we saw the quarterback shuffle game going on, and now there's still incomplete work between the Jets and the Packers. What happens to Aaron Rodgers, the drama king of the NFL right now, and how this whole thing is playing out? We'll see. The Packers may be, you know, doubling down and say, okay, you want him, you agreed to him, fine. We want more than what you're willing to give. Who knows what those negotiations are like? In the meantime, the Steelers are busy. They brought in Nate Herbig to start a two-year, $8 million, I believe, deal on the offensive line. He likely will challenge Kevin Dotson and probably beat Kevin Dotson out. Kevin Dotson was, you know, he was better when he was a rookie, I thought. Took a step back. He played a lot last year, mostly because Kendrick Green could not. I like Herbig to win that job. And I think Andy Weidel knows him pretty well, and that gives me confidence. They also brought in a couple of linebackers. In fact, completely gutted their linebacker play. Bush gone to Seattle. Spillane gone to the Rangers. And then they just cut Miles Jack. And instead, you have now Alondo Roberts, who was with the Dolphins, but originally drafted by the Patriots. And he won a couple of Super Bowls there back, you know, he was not a high pick. He was like a sixth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. But last year, had 4.5 sacks, led the Dolphins in tackles. So they're going to bring in an active guy. They also brought in Cole Holcomb, who is a starter in Washington. Now, he, like Robert Spillane, was undrafted. But he ends up getting a three-year deal, but turned out to be a four-year starter. Very reliable, had a ton of tackles back in 2020, I believe, or was it 19 before the pandemic season? I'm not sure, but he was an active guy. He had an injury last year that denied him big numbers like that, although he was on pace to do it. They brought back Larry Ogunjobi, which I'm fine with. I'm not fine with the number of money that he gave. 3 years, $28.7 million. That's a lot of money for a guy who was, to me, looking like a part-time player. He was injured. No fault of his own, but he was injured. He was coming, you know, Chicago pulled out of a deal because of an injury in a physical situation. They believe he's going to be fine, and if so, he can be a difference maker, but he has to be out there. So I don't know about $28 million. Demonte Casey certainly has a role here, but the big news was Patrick Peterson. They let go of Cam Sutton. Maybe it was because it was too much money. I tend to think 3 years, $33 million for Cam Sutton's a bit much, but the Steelers, they chose to move it in a different direction. When that happened, they went after Patrick Peterson and got the two-time All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, and gave him a deal that's, you know, it's certainly not one that's going to kill him at 2 years, $14 million. So a lot of activity going on, and we're going to continue to talk about it. I'll go over that final four, the March Madness, where we're headed right now with all the matchups coming up today. But I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370 We'll get into that in the Pirates as they're getting closer to opening day. We do know this, that it's going to be Mitch Keller as your starter and opening day. And I think he's going to have a good year. He finished really strong last year, and I would expect that to continue this year. They also have some young kids who are, I would hope, by the midway point of the season are up here. Mike Burrows, Quinn Priester, that would depend on how Ronzi Contreras does. They have veterans in Rich Hill and Vince Velasquez. Those are okay, but I want to see young guys. I want to see Gonzalez. I want to see Piguero. I know Cruz and Castro are here right now, but that could be your future double play combination. Travis Swaggerty's had a hot bat from what I can tell, watching some of. And Jason Mackey's done a very good job down there every single day covering this thing. And you can see his stuff in the Post-Gazette to know that. And, you know, I watch Swaggerty. I think the guy's got swag. It's a good name to have because he backs it up. He's a pretty good player, and I hope he can end up coming up here as well.